Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of John, chapter number 6 this evening. The book of John, chapter number 6. I'm going to be dealing with a subject tonight that is titled, Consider the Cost. Consider the Cost. There are many things in life that we go through that we come in contact with on our day-to-day basis, and we don't really consider the cost that's involved in some things. Here we're going to see two great events happen. I'm not going to read the full story, but we need to read some of it to see what is going on. I'm going to begin in chapter number 6, verse number 1. I like this verse even more so to this day, as I had the privilege to be on the Sea of Galilee, to be able to be there on a Sunday morning, to wake up and to get on a boat, to go out there, to have a service that was out there. It was truly tremendous in my life. And so as I go through this, my mind is going to be upon the scene that I have taken in at that point in time. It says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were deceased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come with him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Here you see a picture of the need for physical food. And we're all in need of physical food tonight, for without going too long in our lives without food, our body will eventually begin to break down and we will probably die within days. Some folks might die within hours, depending upon their appetite. But we are in great need of physical food. But there is something far more important in our lives than physical food, and that is the spiritual food that you and I need in life. And where do we get that physical food? I will show this to you in chapter number 6, verse number 32. It says, then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last days. Go down to verse number 47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. Here we see the need for spiritual food, and that spiritual need for food is the bread of life. For without the bread of life, you and I will not know what living truly is. But let's rehearse this story that we read a little bit earlier. Here in this chapter, we see two things happening. One is the feeding of the 5,000. If you were to go down from verse number 5, you'll begin to read down as a young boy was put into play here, and God began to use this young man to be a blessing to folks that are around him. You see, the other great need is for eternal life. Both meet tremendous needs. One is for the physical, the other is for the spiritual. Jesus, after he had performed miracles, and it said this in verse number 2, it says, "And a great multitude followed him, because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased." So after Jesus had performed miracles, guess what began to happen? Just like it would probably take place today, he would have a crowd of great followers. And why would he have a crowd of great followers? Well, I can think of one thing. I would want to see what he can do as well. And I would be waiting anxiously to see the next miracle that Jesus would perform on somebody. Here they're going to see a miracle perform, and their needs are going to be met. Here we would see that men and women would leave their very livelihoods just to be close to him. Could you imagine giving things up of your comfort to be close with the Father? Perhaps waiting to see what he would do next, or some knew just how special and how important Jesus was. Not following him just because of his great things that he's done, but they know the importance of Jesus Christ. There are some things that I begin to notice about this particular chapter here. Jesus was very aware of who surrounded him. You know, some of us are not aware of our own surroundings. Since the age of 5, and I brag about my daughter because she's my only daughter, so I have the right to brag about her. My other kids, they don't mean nothing to me because I don't have them. But my daughter, I love her tremendously. And one of the things that we did with her at a very young age is get her involved in karate. And you might sit there and say, well, that's pretty cruel of you to do those things. No, I wanted my daughter to do one thing in life after my life was over, because I'm only around for so long. And my strength is going to fail me one day. And that day is already here. It's failing me. But I wanted my daughter to be able to protect herself. I wanted her to have the knowledge to be able to defend herself against people who might attack her. But one of the things that I began to really appreciate about her instructor at this point in time in her life, and she had him probably up until she's about the age of 8 or 9. And the thing that he taught her, he wasn't really concerned about teaching her her forms. He wasn't concerned about how many boards she can break, things of that nature. What he was concerned about was a tremendous lesson in life, and this is this: be aware of your surroundings. And that has gone a long way with her, to the point that it's embedded in her now. She will go off into Walmart now. She's driving now. She likes to go to Walmart and do these things. And she notices people that are around her. You know what she does? She calls mom or she calls myself, say, "Hey, there's a goofy guy here in Walmart." And we say, "No, that's just Uncle Jeff. You're okay." But she's aware of her surroundings, and we're thankful for those things. Jesus here is surrounded by people, and he's aware of who's around him. And with these people that are around him, he knew of the physical needs that they all had, the physical needs that needed to be met at this particular time in their life. The one need that he had recognized was the need of food. And I'm thankful tonight that as a young man growing up, my mom saw the need to feed her children. For without that, we would be skinny little kids walking around our neighborhood. She saw a need to feed us. She saw a need to put away things in her life so that she can concentrate on giving us the food that we needed to have so that we can grow physically, so that we can become strong, so that we can be aware of our surroundings as well. There's a lot of sacrifice on her behalf. And it wasn't just on her behalf. There's sacrifice on our father's part as well, having to provide the money so that she can have the food to feed her children. See, there's a cost that is involved. And so often we don't consider the cost that's involved. Here there's a cost that was involved. He saw the need for the recognition of the food that was needed in her life. And so with this, you see Jesus begin to show and demonstrate his love and his care for people that he was surrounded with. He was concerned for their physical state. I'm thankful today that I have a doctor who is concerned for my physical well-being. That's a great comfort to me. Matter of fact, I'll be seeing him next week, and hopefully I'll get some good news from him. If not, I'll go find another doctor who's going to give me some good news. But I'm thankful that he's concerned about my physical well-being. Jesus here is concerned about their physical state that they are in, because he's aware of the terrain that they walked on. He was aware of the sacrifice that they made. By the way, pictures do not do Israel any justice. You're not able to understand the deep terrain that they walk on a daily basis to get from point A to point B. There are some areas there that I would not even want to put my foot upon, because you're looking over cliffs and edges, and it's very scary at times. But he saw a need that they needed some food. He was concerned, and with his concern, he was wanting to do something about it. Why was he wanting to do something about it? Because he loved them. The interesting thing here is the cost for food. We don't take that in consideration, especially when you're a young child. You don't take the consideration of the fact that everything costs money. You know, I can remember going to the grocery store with my mom as a young person, and we would travel. This was the day. This is when we had fun at the grocery stores. Anybody remember the day when you had fun at the grocery stores? I remember, well, I had fun because it wasn't my money. So I had fun with it. My memory goes back with my great-grandmother, Grandma Jenkins, where we used to go to the Safeway. We used to pick her up every week, and we used to go to Safeway on 25th and Broadway. And I would get underneath her grocery cart, and she would push me as we go through the grocery store. And I always got a pack of gum from her, Wrigley Spearmint gum. I'll never forget that. It was stale as stale can be, but I remember those memories. But there's a cost to those things, and some of us don't take that in consideration. And there is a cost here that has taken place with this. It says, when Jesus lifted up his eyes, verse 5, he says, and he saw a great company come with him. He saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? There is a cost that is involved. One thing that I find very interesting about the life of Jesus is I have never seen in Scripture that Jesus had ever possessed any type of currency in his life. I've never seen that in Scripture. I know that he left his Heavenly Father's throne. I know that he left the riches out of there, but I've never read in Scripture where he carried change around in his pockets. I never read those things. If somebody has, please tell me. With that being said, Jesus uses the bread of a young man to perform a great miracle. Verse number 9, it says, there is a lad here which have 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? So first of all, I see a young man who had a lunch that was prepared by his mother. A mother who was seeing the need that her son needed in advance. Thank God for moms. Moms are caring. They want to nurture their kids. They love their kids. And so they look at the big picture. Apparently, this young boy was probably going fishing at the time. They are by the Sea of Galilee. This is what the Sea of Galilee is known for. And apparently, he caught 2 fish along the way, or maybe his mom stuck it in there. I don't see mom sticking 2 fishes in my lunch sack to go to school. I don't see that happening. If that did, when it came lunchtime, it would have a very foul smell to this. But it says, there's a lad which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus, verse number 10, it says, and Jesus said, make the men to sit down. Now there was much grass in a place, so the men sat down, a number about 5,000. And I'm going to tell you, I've been in this area. And this area is just full of beauty, full of green pastures and olive trees. And rocks just overlooking the Sea of Galilee. It's a tremendous picture that I will never, ever get out of my mind. And we see Jesus here not having a currency, but Jesus knows in advance what's going to take place. So he uses the bread of a young man to perform a great miracle that would feed thousands. And as he fed thousands, there were leftovers. Consider the cost. The cost involved here was a young lad's parents who had to work for their well-being of their son. And in other words, a father had to go to work. He had to put in long hours. He had to work hard, sweat, and it was grueling at times, all to provide for his wife and for his children so that they can have a good lifestyle. It wasn't like it is right now. He wasn't in no computer shop working on a graphic design in an air-conditioned building, sitting on a nice cushioned chair. They worked out in the heat. A lot of them were masons. They were carpenters. They had great skills. They worked with their hands, and it's very tiresome. So you have the cost of the father that's involved for this young man. Blood, sweat, tears, lack of sleep. You have the cost of the mother as the paycheck came home. And the paychecks aren't what they are today. They were pennies. And as the mom would begin to be very frugal with the cost that's involved and begin to plan ahead of time to get the yeast and the other ingredients that were involved to make this bread for her son so that he can go out and have a good time, possibly fishing at this time. Consider the cost that most people don't consider. Consider those things. And here we have a young lad's parents who had costs at their expense. They had to have money for these things. They invested. That's another cost. Investing into the time and making of the bread. I know a lot of you women in here, you make bread. And I tell you what, homemade bread is delicious. It is very delicious. Matter of fact, the best tasting bread I ever had was when I went into the old city of Jerusalem on the north side of it. They had a vendor out there, and his specialty is in bread. And they had some spices on this bread, and they give you olive oil with some spices in it. And I tell you what, this breadstick was about this long. I kid you not, it's bread for a king. And I had a couple of them because I was a king. And it was delicious. I didn't care about the carbs in it. And it was delicious bread. I tell you what, the Jewish people know how to make bread. But there's an investment in there. There's cost that's involved. It takes time. There's a thing that goes around, I think, every year at this church, friendship bread. People like to make friendship bread. It's got to sit on your counter for 15 days to where when you open the bag, it kind of has a nasty smell to it. But man, when you cook it, it's really delicious. There's investing in there and just a little bit of money. But for some, it's a huge cost. Consider the cost. Too often, we don't consider the cost of things. This boy's parents had probably sacrificed some so he can have some bread while fishing. He probably had no knowledge of it. I never knew of the money that went out to feed six kids. I never knew of the cost that went for us so that we can have our bellies filled every single day. And by the way, we never missed a meal. I'm probably sure on many different occasions, Dad probably skimped on some meals. Mom probably skimped on some meals so that our bellies could be filled. See, there is a cost to those things. The second thing we see here is a young man learning the importance of sharing. We see here again, it says, there is a lad here which had five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? We see a young man who's going to be approached. And he's going to be asked, sir, young man, can we have the bread and the two fishes that you have with you? We see a young man without hesitation, I believe, willing to give what he had to somebody else. Do you want to know something? The people who are the less fortunate are the ones who do the most sharing. That is so true. The people that have the most are the ones who keep it to themselves. We have become stingy when you think about those things. He learned a great lesson in sharing. Today we live in a world, even amongst believers, who are great hoarders of what God has supplied them with. No, I will let somebody else make the sacrifice. I will let somebody else do the work because I want what I have and I don't want to share with anybody else. I will say this, what I have is not mine. It is all God's. If God wants to take it away from him right now, then so be it. That's his decision. But I'm thankful with what God has given me, and I'm willing to give it to anybody who wants it. It's not much. You can have it. But we have become hoarders with what God has supplied us with. We don't consider the ones who are in great need. Matter of fact, we laugh and we mock the ones who sit on the side, the streets begging for money. When in fact, these are the people that Jesus had a heart for. These are the people that Jesus had a ministry for. Every time my heart gets hardened towards these folks, and I say, just go out and get a job, my wife always kicks me in the rear end and says, Chad, these are the people that God ministered to. These are the people that he had a heart for. And if he had a heart for them, we should as well. We should consider the ones that are in need and be willing to share and be a blessing to others. You have what you have because God gave it to you. This evening we heard of a young man who was happy about a job that he got this week. And he asked for prayers about it last week. And you know what took place? He didn't go out and get the job. God gave it for him. Gave him the skills to get through the interview. Gave him the skills to be able to achieve the job, attain the job that he has. And I'm so thankful for that. So there was and is a cost for us to have bread daily for the physical need of the body. But there is something far more greater than that, and that is the need for the bread of life, and that is Jesus Christ. This is needed in every life, just like that of the bread that we eat daily. Consider the cost for the bread of life. This too has come with a cost that a lot of us don't think about often enough. It might come to our thoughts, it might come to our mind on occasions, but it doesn't come to our mind and thoughts as often as it should. So consider the cost, but not with what many think, which is money. This cost here had nothing to do with money. Excuse me. Had nothing to do with it. The cost here came out of a physical cost. And that here is the life of Jesus. Let's listen to some things that I listed down for the cost that Jesus lost during his time. What was the cost in his life? Here are some things that come to my mind. And this might sound kind of gruesome, but this is reality. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to apologize for being graphic, because we need to be graphic sometimes, because this is exactly what Christ went through. And so here is the cost. The loss of skin when beaten with a cat of nine tails. As that cat of nine tails came across, and as it's timed right, it will grab that flesh, and as it hits that flesh, it will just rip the skin right off the body. Consider the cost for the bread of life, the loss of skin. Consider the cost with the loss of being recognized when his beard was stripped away from him. Us men, we have the privilege every time we have growth upon our face to go to the bathroom and to grab a razor and to be able to shave off the beard that comes from the night before. But that razor sometime is so sharp, it gets embedded into our skin, and what's it do? It begins to tear away that skin. And that's just a little nick. And what do? We go and we try to grab some Vaseline, and we try to grab some toilet paper to stop the bleeding, because when you get hit in the face, anything around that area, it bleeds profusely, it seems like. And you think it's never going to end. You see just a little trickle of blood come out and you get dizzy. Oh no, my life has ended. But think about this. Jesus, as his beard is being stripped away, his face becomes no longer recognizable by the man that knew him that day. Because now that his beard is gone, the flesh again is removed from his face. This is what the cost that Jesus went through. the loss of water when it came pouring out from him as they put the spear right up into his side. And water came gushing out. Consider the cost. There is a great cost in the bread of life. Consider the cost with the loss of movement. What do you mean with the loss of movement? Before I move on, about 5 years ago, you guys all know this, I have a bad back, and I have to get it taken care of every 5-6 weeks. And there was a time where my back was so bad, I could not get out of my bed. I have what is called a TENS unit in my house, and it's electro pads that you put on your back, and you turn it on, and electricity goes to the spots there. I was in so much pain, I tried to crawl out of bed just to go to the bathroom. I could not. I fell out of bed. My wife could not even help pick me up. Imagine picking up 230-some pounds of dead weight. She tried, and she could not. She failed. And the only thing that I can think of, I said, Chris, go get the TENS unit, put it on my back, and just turn that electricity all the way up. She did that, and that was the only way I was able to get up. You know what I lost at that point in time? I lost movement. That is painful at that time. Jesus, consider the cost, his loss of movement. When they nailed his hands and they nailed his feet to the cross, nobody likes it when their feet are trapped in a blanket. You feel claustrophobic. I see people when their feet are trapped in a blanket, they start kicking frantically. Get me out of here. I don't like having my feet covered. But it's loss of movement. Imagine, you have never been on the cross. I've never been on the cross. But Jesus went there for you and I. But he took that cost, the loss of movement, to be nailed to the cross so that you can feast on the bread of life. Consider the cost with the loss of vision. Last year, Pastor had a stroke in his eye where he lost vision in some of his eye. This past week, Chris's cousin, a young man, had the same thing happen to him. Woke up with an eye stroke, lost vision in his eye. It's a horrible thing to wake up to, I can't imagine. But Jesus here, he has a loss of vision. Where did his loss of vision come from? From the blood that trickled down from his head when they put the crown of thorns upon him. And as that blood began to go into his eyes, his vision began to go away from him. Well, how do you know that to be a fact? Because I know when I get sweat in my eyes, I lose vision. And I do everything that I can to wipe the sweat away. Consider the cost as the blood flowed down from his face so that you and I could feast on the bread of life. Consider the cost when he gave his life for you. There is a great need, without a doubt, for physical bread in your life and in my life. But that is only satisfying for a moment. Who woke up this morning and was hungry? I did. What do? We either drank a protein shake or we went to McDonald's or we grabbed some toast in the house, whatever. We ate. What did we do 3 hours later? We ate again. What are we going to do later on if you already haven't done it before you got to church? You ate again. Why is that? Because it only satisfies for a moment. It is good for us, but it's only satisfying for a moment. Which is why we are constantly trying to feed our bodies. The spiritual bread will satisfy for eternity. It will complete us and make us whole. The thing about this story here that's used is two young men. I never really put this together until this afternoon. Two young men, one who would change the lives of thousands and give somebody their physical needs were met for a moment in their life so that they can go on for the next day. It was a temporary fix. The other was a young man by the name of Jesus, who would change the lives of millions and meet their needs for eternity. Both gave out of what they had, not what they didn't have. Jesus gave his life for you and for me. The young boy gave his bread so that they can have food for a moment. Here's what's wrong with the world, and I'm speaking of believers right now. We spend so much time on trying to build a earthly kingdom, chasing the almighty dollar, which in the end will not matter. It will not matter about how much money you attained here on earth. What will matter is your soul in eternity and the souls that you are able to bring with you. Let me ask you a question. When you are sitting in your mansion in heaven, will you have visitors that'll be in your room with you, rejoicing over the fact that you've accepted the bread of life? It's the eternal that should be the utmost important to us. Consider the cost. I cannot take what I've attained here on earth with me, but yet I pour so much blood and sweat into those things that won't amount to anything in eternity. We live for the world instead of living for God. We don't consider the cost. Consider the cost the next time you go to the grocery store and a clerk is right there in front of you and you have the ability to talk to them about Jesus Christ. Consider the cost. Are they going to go to hell or are they going to go to heaven because you've allowed yourself to be a voice for God? Consider the cost. Jesus, consider the cost. Rehearse those things, what I said earlier, about the cost that he put on his life for you and for me. It's not our job after we accept Christ to keep it to ourselves. The greatest thing that we can ever do in our lives is to give the world what was given us, and that's Jesus Christ. You can sit there and say, hey, this bread that you're trying to feast on right here, it's just temporary, folks. But I got something here that's eternal. And I have it, and I want you to have it. And here's the cost that was paid. He's already paid it for you. You don't have to pay a thing. All you have to do is accept it. Consider the cost. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for this night that you've allowed us to be in your house. God, I pray for these next few moments. If you have spoken to somebody's heart tonight, I pray that whatever needs to be done in these next few moments, that we would take the advantage of doing so. I ask it in your name. Amen.